Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, jiao, weevi, vakat, bang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, killitary industrial core poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankrupt, bribocratic, corruptocracy-mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of murdered animals. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and it is Halloween, so happy Halloween. And oh, wait, let me put on my costume.
There, that's better. I'm a little scarier in my costume. Are you scared? No, I don't mean by the election coming up. Hey, look at everyone around you. Are you scared by their costumes? Or what's under the costume? Look at them all. The costumes can't hide it. Everyone around you. A walking graveyard. Flesh eaters, be scared. Be very scared. Everyone around you. The costumes can't hide it. All part of the strange cult of animal sacrifice. Animal sacrifice. And you eat the remains? How did they turn you into someone who dines on death? You eat cadavers. You swallow the body parts of murder victims. You bury body parts in your body. You are a walking graveyard. If you are a typical American fleshitarian, this past year, your stomach has been a graveyard for 1/7 of a cow's body, for 2/5 of the body of a pig, for 1 turkey cadaver, for 25 chicken bodies. Another 1.5 chickens were sacrificed so you could eat their menstrual excretions, and you buried 40 fish and 130 shellfish in the graveyard of your stomach. Do you have an appetite for murder? 198 animals were murdered for your appetite this year. Over your lifetime, your stomach will be a cemetery for 15,000 animals. You are a walking graveyard on your way to the graveyard prematurely yourself, as all of the animals you have killed eventually kill you. First, the butcher visits them, and then the butcher visits you. Does open-heart surgery scare you? Have you been tricked into thinking that eating meat is a treat? This nation of zombies swallowed 59 billion murdered animals last year. Over 8,000 million animals from the land. 51,000 million animals from the sea. A horror story. As you swallow oceans of blood, mountains of flesh, you wash it down with rivers of the milk of a cow. The milk of a cow? Scary itself. Full of leukemia, full of tuberculosis, full of pus, full of blood. Making every cow's milk drinker a blood-sucking vampire. I don't see anybody in a cow costume today. Why do you think you are a baby cow? Why are you drinking the milk of a baby cow? What monster has taken control of your mind? Is it that monster in the clown costume over there? Not a very good disguise for the devil from McDevils and his evil band of terrorists. Run, kids, run! They want to trick you. Their food is no treat. Run, kids, run! Run past the doors of those slashed food restaurants. Go vegan or die. Don't be tricked into poor health. Their food is no treat. Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine has ranked the 5 unhealthiest, scariest meals for children. Number 5, BK's Kids Breakfast from Burger King. 95 milligrams of heart-stopping cholesterol. Number 4, A&W's Kids Meal. Cheese-covered bovine burger, fries, soda. 780 calories, 9 grams of saturated fat. Number 3, from Killing for Cash, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC Kids Meal. Popcorn chicken, potato wedges, string cheese, soda, 800 calories, 1,800 milligrams of sodium. Number 2, Wendy's Kids Meal. chicken body sandwich fries, chocolate frosting, 770 calories, 34 grams of fat. And number one, McDevil's Mighty Kids Meal. Double bovine burger with cheese, fries, chocolate bovine mammary fluid, 840 calories, 37 grams of fat. This is no horror movie. This is the real thing, kids. For Halloween, this is no horror movie. This is horror reality. Every day is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. For real, for the animals. Meat is no treat for those you eat. It's like a living hell every day. And it would be horrible if your life were cut short by heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, obesity. Be scared. Be very scared. I know, there are other monsters scarier than I am this Hollywood season. And, you know, maybe with the message, go vegan or die, I won't be the most popular monster this year. Maybe I'll even be out of work in this monstrous economy. But don't worry about me. I'm already in a job retraining program. My counselor this morning even had some really good employment suggestions for me.
Oh, new one. I know. You're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Oh, and I thought that was my job. Oh, well. Coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, filmmakers Dennis Henley and Casey Suhan, their controversial film about the Animal Liberation Front, Bold Native, premieres in San Francisco at the Red Vic on November 18th. Listen for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the screening this hour. I'll be there. Who else will be? Keep listening. Also on today's show, Keith Tucker will talk about the hip-hop movement, going green, going vegan. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, listener-supported. You're a listener. Please support it with a tax-deductible donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Check out the podcast on iTunes. And for archives and to make a tax-deductible donation online, go to goveganradio.org. What's the first thing that Carl Myers, MD and cancer specialist, did when he retired from his medical career? He opened a vegan restaurant, Nature's Express in Berkeley, at 1823 Solano Avenue. Healthy by design. Nature's Express. Most medical students flip burgers to put themselves through medical school. Dr. Myers put himself through a medical career so he could flip burgers. And you'll flip over Nature's Express burgers made in-house. Original, spicy black bean, almond sunflower, lentil, and chicken alternative patties. Check out the menu at natures-express.com and check out the food at Nature's Express, 1823 Solano Avenue in Berkeley.
It is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, listener-supported, animal liberation, media infiltration. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. It is always wonderful when we have animal liberation media infiltration, and that's happening with a very important film that's out now that is about to have its San Francisco debut. And we're talking about Bold Native. You can go to the archives at goveganradio.org. We an interview some weeks back there regarding the opening in Los Angeles. And now today we have the filmmakers, Dennis Henley and Casey Suhan. So how are things going with Bold Native now that it's been shown in a number of cities? How are people reacting to it?
It's been going great. We've been showing it around the country this summer and in Europe a little bit. And the reaction has been really positive and enthusiastic. We had Russell Simmons presented the film in New York, which was exciting and fun, and we've had sold-out screenings there in Portland, Seattle, and we're just trying to set up as many screenings as we can and anticipating a DVD release in November.
It's great, okay. It's time for the holidays.
Yes, okay. Well, and I see Russell Simmons' quote. He said, creative, fun, impassioned, and entertaining. I was blown away. So that's a pretty good recommendation right there. And in the San Francisco Bay Area, we have the debut at the Red Vic on Thursday, November 18th, with two shows, 7 and 9:30. This critically acclaimed documentary-style fictional account of direct action animal liberation. So tell people a little bit about how the film came to be.
Well, Bold Native was a project that Dennis and I worked on while we were doing other things as well for the last 10 years. And it's changed a lot over the years because the world has changed a lot, and the nature of the government reaction to activism and now, you know, the reaction to the word terrorism and applying that to activism is something that we've been following as we've worked on revisions of the script. So we tried to get it made, you know, the Hollywood way, looking for money and had a movie that might have cost $1 million and might have cost $5,000. We really ran the gamut with the script and finally decided to pull the trigger and make it with all the resources that we had in 2008. And that included a little bit of money that we had saved and a lot of help from the community here in Los Angeles. And at that point, it was a film, what we ended up with in 2008 was a film that was really about a cell of Animal Liberation Front activists. And the story also includes a father-son story. Charlie is our hero. He's an Animal Liberation Front activist. His father is on the other side of the issue, hasn't heard from his son, and is on a quest to find him after he gets a visit from the FBI telling him that their son is wanted for violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act of 2006. And the other element to the story is following a woman who deals with animal welfare and lobbying big companies for small incremental changes. So it really tries to look at a lot of different paths, you know, in the animal rights movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's subject matter with which I am well acquainted. I think this radio show is a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. So anybody listening is now subject to arrest. Frisk yourself. You may be dangerous. And you have Jake Conroy coming to the – John Robbins and Jake Conroy at the opening November 18th at the Red Vic. Tell us about how and why they are attending.
Well, we're really excited about that. We had contacted John – because we have his book, Diet for a New America, appears in the film, so we contacted him just to see if he'd have any problem with that. And he said fine, and then just kept in contact with us, and we kept in contact with him. And when he found out the movie was done, we sent him a copy to take a look at, and he really loved it and had some great things to say about it and offered to come speak anywhere that was close to him. So we naturally took that opportunity to pull the trigger on the San Francisco screening and have him come out and speak to people. He's one of our heroes for sure, and definitely one of the reasons that both Casey and I are vegan.
And then right. he's a reason why a lot of people are vegan. Diet for a New America, and his turnaround, of course, was he was the heir to the Baskin Robbins fortune and turned his back on that, for the root of veganism.
We have like a slightly different and, you know, maybe more dramatic father-son story going on in our film, but it's definitely one that I think that we can connect to as well because of that. Jake, we're working on we've joined up with some other filmmakers who've been working on a documentary about the Shaq 7 case, and Jake was one of the defendants in that case, went to prison for 3 years for fighting against Huntington Life Sciences and their exploitation of animals in their labs. And so when we decided to do the San Francisco screening, we asked him if he'd be willing to come out and say a few words as well. Some of the other Shaq 7 defendants, Andy Stepani and Darius Fulmer and Josh Harper, have spoken at other screenings, which I think just gives people, we want people to, like, watch the film and be entertained. But at the end of it, to realize that the issues that are addressed in the film, like the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, are real issues and have real human and non-human consequences. And so whenever we can have people that have been subject to the government's repression of activists speak, we try to make that happen.
One of our you know, hopes with the film is that when people who aren't familiar with the issue see it, that when they hear a report about, quote, animal terrorism or animal rights terrorists, that they'll think twice about what those words mean, and that they'll think of those people as activists, and that they'll understand that there's a media spin and a corporate agenda there. And I think when we can incorporate really wonderful activists like the Shack 7 into the screenings, it gives the audience an opportunity to meet some of the people that the government has labeled, the government and corporate America have labeled terrorists because they oppose the way they do business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had, you know, Peter Young spoke at a couple of the screenings as well. We try to have the, you know, animal rights terrorists just to show people that they're not very scary.
Right.
And they're quite inspiring, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are, and they're the ones who are actually going up against the terrorism that the animals have to face. And people should realize that, you know, as the Constitution is being shredded, it's the animal rights and animal liberation activists who are at the forefront of trying to save our constitutional rights. So it's really important. The quote from John Robbins about the film, "Bold Native," is the controversial story of young adults who just can't sit by and stay silent in the face of massive cruelty to animals. Unwilling to passively succumb to resignation and despair, they take a stand, not just with their words, but with their actions. Some might see them as threats to society, others might admire them as self-sacrificing heroes, but no one could see this remarkable film and not gain a greater understanding of what courage really means. And John Robbins will be speaking at the premiere, Jake Conroy, and it's really exciting. It'll be Thursday, November 18th at the Red Vic, two shows. And how can people get tickets?
People can go to www.boldnative.com and go to the screenings page, and they can buy tickets right through there. It'll take them to check out.
And it's good to buy tickets soon because, you know, all the screenings have sold out, and we've definitely had people that haven't gotten in at other cities. So it's good to buy them up front.
Yeah.
Okay. So expect the screening to sell out. So...
I know you have a national and international audience, Bob. So, you know, just want to let the people know that the DVD will be out in the next month or so. So we'll get that.
Great. Okay. And people can go to boldnative.com for tickets for this debut. And why don't we give a pair of tickets away to the first person who emails me at bob@goveganradio.com. I'll give a pair of tickets away for the screening November 18th at the Red Vic in San Francisco. And you also have another project coming up, I believe, with Spork Online and introducing people to vegan foods and vegan cooking classes.
Yeah, you know, we found in showing Bold Native even to our test audiences, we showed the film to about 200 people before we completed it, and most of whom had no prior knowledge of Animal Liberation Front or experience with the AR movement at all. And we found that people were getting touched and wanted to make different choices in their eating habits and said to us, what can we do? And obviously you can go and get active. You can write letters, you can protest, you can go volunteer at sanctuaries. There's a million things you can do, but the most immediate and in a way easiest thing you can do is just to stop consuming products that exploit animals with what you eat, with what you, you know, purchase, your toothpaste, just very simple stuff. And we were lucky to meet Heather and Jenny Goldberg, who have a wonderful vegan live cooking class here in Los Angeles and are just really super knowledgeable and super approachable and create these recipes that are healthy and compassionate. We got along famously, as they say, and decided to work together to offer their classes online to an international audience so that now when people ask you the question, what can I do? What do I eat? Like, do I just eat pasta? No, there's a whole wonderful world out there, and it can be very healthy, and it's just such a better choice, you know, for your body, for the environment, and ultimately and most importantly for the animals who are being exploited. So it's a very important project to us. It's www.sporkonline.com, And people will be able to sign up for classes starting hopefully Monday, November 1st is when we plan to launch. It's a great gift. You know, you can give it to somebody who's not a vegan in your life, and just they'll learn how to cook things that don't include animal products.
And, you know, that includes,
and Spork,
like, you know,
SporkOnline.com, that's S-S-P-O-R-K online.com, SporkOnline.com. Yes. Okay. And we have maybe, I don't know, 45 seconds left. Anything we want to get to that we haven't so far?
No, we're so grateful, Bob, to you for the opportunity to talk about the film here, and to everybody else, bloggers and just people who've given us the opportunity to talk about and plug the film. And we encourage people to, you know, work with us to bring the film out to your community. Even if once the film is out on DVD, it's still a great thing, I think, to try to set up community screenings with and encourage people to come out and watch it in a group. You know, it's hard to change sometimes all alone by yourself in front of your computer. When there's a community around you supporting you, it's easier to make big changes, and it's easier to ask questions and get answers. So, you know, thank you for all that you do and your viewers, and we just encourage people to continue to set up community screenings, and we'll work with them to get them materials to promote and everything else.
Thank you. Thank you, Casey and Dennis. We're just about out of time. It's Bold Native at the Red Vic on November 18th. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Bob.
Based on the latest satellite data, NASA climate scientists predict nearly all ice could be gone from the Arctic Ocean by the end of summer 2012. NASA scientist James Hansen said, "We have passed tipping points. We have not passed the point of no return. It's going to require a quick turn in direction." For more urgent details on saving our planet, going vegan and green, visit SupremeMasterTV.com. That's SupremeMasterTV.com.
With Bob Linden.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Happy Halloween. Wouldn't it be scary if there were not a vegan radio program on every week? Well, we have to buy the airtime. You can help treat us to airtime here. This is no trick. Donate online at goveganradio.org, or you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Well, we just had our guests on who were the producers of Bold Native, as that movie makes its debut in San Francisco on November 18th. And my next guest is in the process of producing a documentary, a very interesting one. We'll follow it as it goes along. Also, Keith Tucker has been an icon in the hip-hop movement since the 1970s. He's been involved with his own radio programs and events promotion, and is at the forefront of bringing the green movement to hip-hop. And he is, in fact, in pursuit of a green planet, and is producing a special event in Oakland on November 12th. So welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Keith Tucker, how are you today?
I'm doing excellent, Bob. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here. So you've been involved with the hip-hop since the 1970s, and a lot of people may not even have an idea of what hip-hop is. I mean, perhaps they think it's rap music that they see on video at night on BET, but what is hip-hop?
Bob, you know, we've been doing hip-hop, as you alluded to, since the 70s. And hip-hop started out, you know, as just a voice from the streets, from urban communities. And, you know, rap was the thing that really has been popularized throughout the years. People do recognize breakdancing and graffiti art and DJing and those, you know, core four elements of the culture. we've actually, since the 70s, it's been over 30 years now, so we've graduated into becoming a full culture. And so there's 9 elements in the culture of hip-hop, and so we look at it as a culture. People that may not know the deeper meaning of what hip-hop is may just look at it as rap music, but, you know, we have, you know, hip-hop reaching every area and facet of life, so the movies and the promotion and marketing, into photography, into fashion, you know, and also the things that we're doing, reaching all different cultures, all different ethnic backgrounds around the world. So it's been used in almost every facet of life. So these are the things that we really want to highlight when you talk about the evolution of hip hop culture.
So it's a whole culture.
It is, and I'll tell you. March 16th, May 16th of 2001, there were 300 delegates from the hip-hop world that went to the United Nations with a document called the Hip-Hop Declaration of Peace. In the Hip-Hop Declaration of Peace, it has 18 principles which guide hip-hop culture. And with this document, on that day, the United Nations ratified hip-hop as a worldwide culture. So not only is it, been doing cultural stuff since the late 70s, but we are ratified by the United Nations as a culture.
And hip hop is also an economic force, isn't it, Keith?
It is most definitely an economic force. I mean, like I said, there's more millionaires in hip hop that we know that's ever been created by anything else in modern times. And when I say that, I'm talking about spanning every ethnic and racial and background, and even, you know, on all continents, people are generating resources for their families through the culture of hip-hop, and they might not even be rappers. I don't rap, I don't DJ, and I'm the worst dancer that you've ever seen, but I've been able to have a living off the culture of hip-hop. So, I mean, it's way more than what people are thinking. And I've been doing this thing for over 30 years in different ways, shapes, and forms. I've been a fan of the music since then. I've been involved in the business for almost 20 years now. So, you know, it is something that is, you know, when you look at it, is amazing. And we need to use it as a resource now for young people to be involved in, you know, being sustainable and living in balance with themselves and the environment. So that's where the vibration of where hip-hop is going to go now.
That's great, and you intend to push it in that direction. I know that you're starting filming of your movie coming up in March. People might hear your story and say, wow, that sounds like Super Size Me in reverse. But tell us what you're going to be, what are you going to be doing in March, and what will you be documenting?
Well, you know, my body is going to become an experiment, Bob, and I'm going to go totally vegan. So for the last 3 years, I've been assembling a team of some of the top experts in the green movement and top vegetarians and vegans and holistic health trainers and actual trainers. So, you know, I'm going to be vegan. I'm going to live vegan. I'm going to work out every day. And while I'm doing this, I'm going to be traveling the nation participating in the green movement. Young people right now all around the country are participating in the green movement through hip-hop. There's grassroots community organizations that use hip-hop and the arts and the sustainable movement all around. I've located a lot of these organizations, and I'm going to be involved in participating in what they're doing. And I'm going to interview the top people in the green movement that are hip-hop too. Most people don't know. Russell Simmons has been a vegan for about 12 years. Andre 3000 of Outkast has been a vegan for years. And Erykah Badu has been a vegan for about 20 years. So there's a lot of different vegetarians and vegans that are entertainers and that are in hip-hop that are going to be hopefully a part of this process that we go in pursuit of a green plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't look like you have to be too afraid of going vegan, since all of those folks have done it and have thrived on it for many years. And
yeah.
I've been vegan for 26 years now myself. And gosh, I don't know if you're going to wait till March to do it. Of course, I would say start today, but you're going
to. Yeah, you know what? I wish I could. today because, you know, I had to gain a lot of weight for this film. I'm actually doing Super Size Me now. So, you know, once people see me, this is going to be totality, Bob. People have said it's kind of the reverse of Super Size Me. I like to think it does have the bed that I'm going to lay in, which is me, you know, doing this vegan diet, but it's way more. It's about hip-hop. It's about new people coming in with new, fresh ideas into the green movement. It's about shaping the future. And it's about this journey that I've been on personally for the past 18 years of cleaning my inner spirit and my inner soul. So that's what it's really about. And I'm being so true to this process, wanting to learn as much as I can and dispel all the myths that there are in the community. And that's kind of where I came to a point where I was like, okay, I've tasted the food and it totally is totally different than I thought it was going to be. You know, Bob, I thought it was going to be this nasty tofu square and some seeds, and I'm eating this salad without any salad dressing for the rest of my life. And when I was thinking about that, I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm going to go into convulsions and pass out or something and go into cardiac arrest because I don't have protein. And it's just going to be a nasty existence. But when I found out the food was nutritious, the food had loaded with protein, and the food tasted good, that was the first thing that just blew my mind and said, wow, I didn't even know that this world existed.
Yeah, we have the best food. I love to eat. Vegans are usually foodies, you know. I mean, they just love to eat. And so as of the first day of spring, which is actually the great, you know, the meat out is the first day of spring.
Oh,
so,
it is. I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's been that way for many years. So as a, you know, for the meat out, you're going to start that first day of spring and go vegan that day and keep it going till the end of the year, right?
Yeah, almost. I want to do it for as long as 9 months, so I'm committed for that time. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, are you going to be vegan for the rest of your life? I don't know. We'll see. I hope that I will be.
Yeah. You know? Well, once you go vegan, you never go back, you know.
That's what they tell me, man. That's what they tell me. You know,
yeah.
The November 12th, we're going to talk about that too, right?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Tell us about what you're doing for November 12th.
November 12th is one of the most exciting things that I like about this process. I am going into communities all around the country, but we're going to be in Oakland at West Oakland Middle School November 12th. We're giving we got 169 kids that are going to be there. This is a middle school, so we've got 169 kids plus their parents. We're feeding almost 400 people that day. Their first vegetarian meal. It's actually their first vegan meal. And so we are bringing in speakers, we're bringing in entertainers, and we're going to educate and entertain at the same time and hopefully impact these kids' lives. And I want to get people that have never eaten a vegan meal, I want to get them their first vegan meal for free. And that's what the Green Dinner dinners are. They're our outreach program, how we reach the community and we actually get them tasting and eating the food and get them educated.
Mm-hmm. So this event itself is not necessarily open to the public. It's an event for the kids in the school there.
It is for the kids in the school. And we want to do them at more schools all around the country. So, you know, I've got people that are doing vegan dinners for me all around the country in major cities. And I am going to be doing public events as well, too. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to those.
No, this is exciting that, you know, in fact, I think I'm going to be there on November
12th.
You are
going to be there.
I always... Yeah, I'm going to come to it because, you know, I just love seeing people try vegan food for the first time, you know, and it just, it's great because they love it. You know, I mean, I'm with people all the time who, like you, they think, I don't know, is it, you know, going to be one piece of iceberg lettuce or something? And then they go, wow, if this is vegan food, I can eat like this every day. I can go vegan, you know. So,
I think we changed the world, Bob, by interacting with you. So that's where I focus in on is young people, and it is so gratifying to me when young people eat vegetarian food and they just get that good feeling and they want more and they want to know how to cook it, they want to know where to get it, and, you know, it's just a life-changing event. So I have people there and resources there that are doing this work thing. It's not just like a one-off event. This is an ongoing thing that we're going to hopefully change some people's lives.
And so who are some of the speakers? Who's speaking there? And you have guest chefs there. So who's going to be at the event on November 12th?
Well, we have Dr. Milton Mills, who is on the PCRM, and I believe he was a guest on your show.
Many times, many times. He is an amazing, inspirational speaker on for the cause of going vegetarian and vegan.
I'm so happy to have him there.
He's one of the best. He really is one of the best. We had him at Soul Food for Thought last year at the Herbst Theater, and he's remarkable. So the kids, the parents are all going to be very convinced by what he has to say.
Yeah, when I went to and heard him speak, it just blew my mind. So I was like, I got to have him come speak. So he'll be there. And then we have Persia White, who was on the series Girlfriends, and I think you know a little bit about her work
sure.
as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's going to come there. And then we also have...
So there are beautiful vegans, too. See that? There are beautiful vegans.
Oh, yeah. She is. Right. And she's so dedicated, you know, towards animal rights.
Yes.
And, you know, she's a great voice for the movement. And, you know, we're just thankful to have her on the team as a consultant. So, you know, it's great. We also have Dr. Bob Savio, who is actually from Seattle. And he is the head of the pediatrics department at Highland Hospital. And what's so unique about him is he had an actual vegetarian food program instituted at the hospital. He's on the front lines of, you know, all of these childhood diseases that happen with childhood diabetes, cancer, and high blood pressure. And he sees it on the front line. So he instituted this program on his own. So he'll be speaking there, too. And I really, really love Dr. Savio. So
mm-hmm. Great. Yeah.
And we also have our community partner. They're actually co-presenting the Center for Health. You know, they're a wonderful organization. The president of that organization, Mahadir Solomon, is going to be speaking as well. And they work.
Say the name of the organization again. I think the phone might have broken up at that time.
No problem. Our community partner that's co-producing this event is the One Love Center for Health in Oakland. I want everyone to know about that organization because they're doing wonderful work in Oakland, working with students and universities and teaching them the ground level work of working with the community and educating them about their health. And so she's a really great lady. She's going to be speaking there as well. So we have performers that are going to be performing there.
Mm-hmm. So you have performers and guest chefs will be attending.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah. Chef JR of No Worries Restaurant, he will be doing some cooking there. And Brian.
Yeah, that's the new vegan Filipino restaurant in Oakland there. Yeah,
I was so fortunate. I was so really fortunate to catch him at a private opening for that when he first did it on my last trip there. And so the food just blew my mind and you know, he's a hip hopper as well. So
mm-hmm.
he's going to
yeah.
be, you know, he's our hip hop chef. So he's going to be doing some Filipino vegan food. And then we have Bryant Terry, who is a consultant for us from Oakland. And I know that he has successful books out about vegetarian and so forth.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
It's going to be wonderful. And I can't wait to see you there, Bob, and so that you can actually just report back on what happened and what kind of reactions the kids had with the food. And it's going to be interesting. And it's historical because this has never been done before in our communities, man. So I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm like a
kid. Oh, this is great.
Christmas, man.
Yeah, definitely. This is great. I'm looking forward to being involved with you and helping to make it happen. So I will be seeing you on November 12th, and then we're going to look forward to your film, your documentary. What's the name of the movie going to be?
It is Pursuit of a Green Planet. That is the name of the film, Pursuit of a Green Planet, where hip-hop meets the green movement.
That's great. Okay. Well, we have about maybe 30 seconds left, so was there anything that you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to yet, Keith? Or?
Yeah, you know what? I did forget to mention our website. If people want to get more information about the film, they can visit us at hiphopisgreen.com. That's hiphopisgreen.com. And also,
I love it.
We're still taking donations for this November 12th event. And, I mean, it's coming around the corner. So I usually give out websites and all that stuff. But for this occasion, if people are interested in being involved on a donation level, they can give me a direct call, and I'll give you my cell phone number, which is 206-234-9565. And I hope I get so many calls that I can't answer them all.
Give the number one more time.
206-234-9565. Everybody in the Bay Area that is interested in helping save the planet, we're doing it. And we want to hear from you. We want to be involved, and we want to work with you. So give me a call. Donate as much as you can. Make it hurt. Donate.
It might hurt you, but make it good for the kids,
yeah.
You know, and you know the fact that they need to be exposed to this important information and the delicious food. It's what's going to save their lives and the planet,
yep.
And the animals.
And,
so,
and the bottom line, if we're not willing to make sacrifices right now, then we're not worthy enough to be on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We got to make sacrifices. So it's time to make those type of sacrifices. I'm putting my money literally where my mouth is, and I'm going to make a sacrifice, a life sacrifice of just going forth into this this new world. So I'm willing. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be fascinating watching you, you know, as you progress going vegan in the movie, you know, as you start the program in March, and just
yeah.
I think it'll be great. I think again, the opposite of Morgan Spurlock, where he, you know, needed pretty much, emergency care toward the end of the movie, and his numbers were, you know, dramatically threatening. I think, you know, you're going to turn into Superman by the end of this,
That's
Keith.
That's what I'm looking for, and I want to give a shout-out to Alex Jameson, too, Morgan's wife. She's a vegan chef, and she's a part of and a supporter of what we're doing. You've interviewed her,
too. Terrific. Okay.
So, yep.
Excellent. Okay, well, we'll follow your progress. I look forward to seeing you November 12th, and we'll stay in touch with you, Keith.
Thank you so much, Bob. I look forward to it. Have a good day. Peace.
Thanks. Hey, give us your website one more time.
HipHopIsGreen.com. HipHopIsGreen.com.
HipHopIsGreen.com. If you missed any of our interview today, the program, as usual, is archived at goveganradio.org, and the podcast is available at iTunes, and we appreciate you being with us today, Keith Tucker. And it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, go to goveganradio.org.
How now, no cow? Get hip to the strip. Primal Strips, the delicious, high-energy, high-protein, meatless snack from Primal Spirit Foods. When you're on the go, go with Primal Strips, the meatless meat alternative that even non-vegans love. Primal Strips have become a favorite with bicyclists, climbers, and outdoor enthusiasts. 100% vegan and kosher, no cholesterol, no GMOs, preservatives, or artificial colors. Voted best new vegetarian snack by Veg News. Primal Strips, 6 phenomenal flavors. Thai peanut, mesquite lime, teriyaki, hot and spicy, hickory smoked, Texas barbecue. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com. Visit your natural food store for Primal Strips. Trick or treat. No, you keep the candy. Send me the money that you collected in your goodie bag there. Yeah, especially, you keep that milk chocolate. Everybody blaming chocolate for acne. Turns out it's the milk in the chocolate. So you keep the candy. Send the money to Go Vegan Radio. It's tax deductible. Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. Please donate. We can't do this without you. And what is this that we do anyway? Oh, yes, the first vegan animal rights mainstream media radio program ever. Thanks to Evan Donovan and Dennis Stovall for audio engineering. My face is on Facebook at Bob Linden. On Twitter, it's Go Vegan Radio. Trick or tweet. If you're a listener who wishes to comment, call the listener comment line at 315-VEGAN-20, and you can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. Well, does breast cancer scare you? October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. As we close it out, please be aware and beware of grilled chicken. That's what should really scare you. A recent study conducted by the Cancer Project showed All samples of grilled chicken bought at slashed food restaurants contain significant amounts of PHIP, a known carcinogenic compound. 1.5 million American women this year will hear the scary words, you have breast cancer. The scary guy is back, even though George Bush didn't seem to worry about him, his latter term there. The scary guy is back. If you didn't notice, Osama bin Laden released another video this past week. He said he wants to direct his wrath at the French for participating in the war in Afghanistan. He also said that would probably use up most of al-Qaeda's budget for terrorism for the fiscal year. So the best he can come up with in America is just to encourage Americans to keep eating what they're eating. He's asked all terrorists who hate Americans to just ask Americans to keep eating what they're eating and perhaps increase their intake of meat and dairy. You know what's really crazy? What's really scary is, someone who's supposed to be an intelligent, caring, concerned, progressive talk radio host. I raise my hand. But one who endorses fur. Oh, my hand goes down. Who would that be? Huh? What's up with Carell, who usually seems like a decent dude, supposed to be pretty smart. He says he's a Mensa guy, but how can that be if you support fur? I mean, for someone who claims to be so smart, who claims to be Mensa, what's up, Carell? How progressive are slavery and torture, hunting and trapping, confinement and mutilation? Oh, and then there's the responsible and humane murder for Carell's fur coat. How many animals and how are they killed? Well, to make one fur coat, one must murder 55 wild mink, or 35 ranched mink, or 40 sables, or 11 lynx, or 11 silver foxes, or 18 red foxes, or 9 beavers, or 30 muskrats, or 14 otters, or 15 bobcats, or 27 raccoons, or 100 chinchilla. That's a lot of murder. But progressive talk show host Carell says, as long as it's done responsibly, go ahead. Where animals, huh? How speciesist? How prejudiced, huh? Is there actually responsible murder? That's, as funny as the concept of humane slaughter. Why is a progressive talk show host in favor of capital punishment for innocent animals whose only crime was to be born? Murder them responsibly, Carell says. And those who are responsible for their murder do so by gassing, drowning, stomping, and anal and genital electrocution. And that's about as responsible as it gets. Torture and murder done right, the new progressive values. Huh? There's nothing wrong with responsible oppression, responsible trapping, responsible murder. But who is really responsible? I mean, of course, the trapper is responsible, so are the hunter and the rancher. But the thoughtless, ignorant person buying the coat is most responsible, creating the demand. But it seems that Carell is confusing words. I mean, in his mind, is he trying to say humane instead of responsible? Because if Carell buys that fur coat, well, he is responsible. So in order to rationalize an immoral act, subsidizing cruelty and murder, he can say, well, as long as they are humanely raised, huh? It's okay with him, if that's what he was trying to say. Now, don't ask and don't tell, what might be humane in any of that, because when it comes to the raising of fur, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's the same rationalization that pseudo-animal lovers make when they consume the diet of death and torture masquerading as certified humane eggs, cage-free eggs, free-range chicken, organic beef, uncrated veal, happy meat, happy fur. Don't ask, don't tell, because if you did ask, you wouldn't want to be told. No good conditions exist in those areas, but ignorance is bliss, especially if you want to buy a mink coat. All the animals unnecessarily killed because, they're unnecessarily killed all the time for food. They're not necessary for food. They make you sick, and they aren't clothing. And, when you wear fur, you are just so out of style, so unfashionable. All it says is, look at me. I look so fat and hairy that it's obvious. I have too many dollars and not much sense, you know. So, I mean, look what happens humanely and responsibly. The animals are hunted, they're ranched, they're trapped. The steel jaw leg hold trap is used. Animals get trapped. They often chew off their own legs, and those traps are indiscriminate about whom they trap. Perhaps Carell's dog, the love of his life, might get caught in one of those traps and become one of the millions of trash animals who are discarded, you know, just because they accidentally got caught in that trap. And, oh, Carell, the dog you love so much, thanks for raising her responsibly. But now it's her time to be a fur trim collar. Carell, how do you feel about that? If you don't like it for your dog, why do you like it for any other animal, huh? You know, and yeah, so there's the steel leg hold trap. And if they don't use those traps, they use snares. And, responsible ranching. Well, that means confinement so cramped, the animals are driven to psychotic neuroses. And so even if Carell doesn't care about animals, what about the environment? What about workers? Huh? The production of fur is hazardous to the environment, about which a progressive talk show host on Green 960 should be concerned. Chemicals used, alkalis and acids, alum, chromate, bleaching agents, dyes, known skin irritants, known carcinogens. How about humane, responsible treatment for workers in the fur industry? Anthrax can infect workers handling carcasses, skins, hides, and hairs. Workers are subjected to inhaling dusting powder used in packing and dust from unhairing, plucking, and shearing in the dyeing process. Oh, it's kind of ironic, but in this case, meaning the changing of coloring, even though the whole fur industry is a dyeing process. But in the dyeing process, carcinogens are often used. Salts of lead and copper and chromium can be ingested by workers. Injurious vapors can be breathed from degreasing solvents and fumigating chemicals. Is all of this responsible? Is all of this humane to animals or to workers or to the environment? Well, some of us, Carell, feel very deeply about the pain and suffering and oppression of others. Some risk their freedom freeing those animals. You know, that's how much they care. And, you know, don't they seem so much more heroic than a dismissive speciesist talk show host, huh? How can you not care, Carell? I mean, I care enough that I protest legally, and I still find myself in handcuffs in this constitutionally repressed society. So, Carell, you just mustn't have known the depth of the suffering of the innocent to make a statement so callous as to support fur. So please, Carell, plan on joining us and protest this obscene cruelty. Fur Free Friday is coming up the day after Thanksgiving. Let's get together in Union Square. Or I'll be announcing various locations where we can protest, Carell, and you can join us on the right side of the issue. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please support this radio program with a tax-deductible donation. When you support Go Vegan with Bob Linden, you are also supporting Progressive Talk Radio and Green 960. We have to purchase the airtime each and every week. Free speech is expensive. You can donate online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Love animals. Don't eat them. Don't wear them. Go vegan. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday afternoon at 3. My guests will be Dennis Henley and Casey Suhan, producers of the critically acclaimed controversial film about the animal liberation front, Bold Native, which has its San Francisco premiere Thursday, November 18th at the Red Vic with special guest speakers John Robbins and Jake Conroy, one of the Shack 7 protesters against the notorious laboratory that kills 500 animals every day in cruel experimentation. The Shack 7 were persecuted and prosecuted by the federal gov-enronment, which itself is a tool of animal exploitation. Anyway, listen to Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday at 3. You could win tickets to the Bold Native screening at the Red Vic, November 18th, I'll be there. Also this Sunday, hip-hop icon Keith Tucker talks about introducing the green movement to hip-hop. He also talks about his upcoming new movie, Pursuit of a Green Planet, where he pulls a reverse Morgan Spurlock and documents what happens to himself when he goes vegan. You'll also hear how we'll be introducing vegan food to Oakland school children in November. And this Sunday is Halloween. It's scary to think, but the average American is a walking graveyard. How many animals did the average American bury in his or her stomach of a graveyard last year? Listen this Sunday. And while the kids' meals at slashed food restaurants may seem like a treat, don't be tricked. We'll count down the five scariest and unhealthiest. And Carell recently made some surprising statements for a progressive talk show host on Green 960 in favor of fur. He must be ignorant on this issue. So, Carell, you're invited to listen this Sunday at 3 for your education and the ugly truth about fur. There's a free lecture this Sunday, Food Choices for a Healthy Planet, with Linda Rebell, author of Eating to Save the Earth. It's 9:30 a.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church, 1187 Franklin at Geary. The Kindness Kitchen Lunch is this Sunday at 1 p.m. at Maharani Restaurant, 1122 Post Street. Vegan menu, you do not receive a check. You pay whatever you want in an envelope at the end, which is donated to charities in India. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden is made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, world-class vegan, organic, non-GMO cuisine in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, now with 160 worldwide, the very first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. There's one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you. And it's lonely being a vegan talk show host. Please be my friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. Cyberstalk me on Twitter, where it's Go Vegan Radio for your trick or tweets. On iTunes, the podcast is Go Vegan Radio. You can advertise vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email bob at goveganradio.com. And for archives and podcasts and to make a tax-deductible donation, goveganradio.org.